Diane Young from Vampire Weekend, one of the bands at the forefront of the Twee movement. A new book explaining exactly what the Twee movement is has been published. Jim Carroll has been reading it for us. Jim, the book is called Twee, The Gentle Revolution in Music, Books, Television, Fashion and Film. And it's written by Mark Spitz. Just give us a sense of his pedigree, first of all, Mark Spitz.
He's a music journalist of long standing. He wrote for Spin magazine for many, many years. He also wrote biographies, well-regarded biographies on David Bowie, Mick Jagger and LA Punk. He's also wrote a memoir of his time in New York's Lower East Side in the 1990s, DJing with bands like The Strokes called Poser.
And I guess fed up being asked how many Olympic medals did he win as a swimmer. I guess he's used to that one.
I'm sure he's well used to that.
Yeah, Twee, it isn't particularly a name that stands out as a genre in itself. So give us an idea, as far, according to this Mark Spitz, who comes under the Twee umbrella internationally?
Well, he basically has a very wide umbrella, like Sean. According to him, you've got everyone like Vampire Weekend, who we've just played, Lena Dunham, Garden State, Morrissey, Peanuts the Cartoon, Beards, Portlandia, Artisanal Pickles, Food Trucks, Crocheted Owls on Etsy, Ukuleles, Kittens, and Zooey Deschanel. Zooey Deschanel features an awful lot in this book.
They would be people
he'd put under the Twee flag.
Well, you've seen as you're saying Zooey Deschanel features an awful lot. Define the characteristics of Twee and where she and some of the bands you've listed there fit in.
He basically, one of the first tasks he takes on is to try and offer a definition. And to him, I suppose, Twee is an excessively sweet, sentimental, pretty precocious, wimpy, introspective and whimsical aesthetic characterised by childlike quirkiness.
So it's quite pejorative then.
It totally is. I mean, he does a very good job at the start of kind of like offering his general arguments about how Twee has revolutionised everything from film to fashion to music.
In a bad way?
He doesn't go so far as kind of like give it a quality of good or bad, but like how it's kind of developed. And it's a really interesting argument the way he sets up, because, you know, Twee is something that like music fans will know of and regarded with, like, say, Belle and Sebastian, for example, regarded a Twee band. A lot of the kind of like the C86 and the postcard scene that came out of Scotland in the 80s, and a lot of kind of like avant-garde indie music that came out of kind of Portland Olympia in the 90s would be regarded as quite Twee.
So if you were talking in Irish terms now in 2014, who would be Twee?
See, to my mind, I would kind of regard, I suppose there's a band like from Cavan, like the Would-Bees. When the Would-Bees started out, they were the height of Tweeness, because, you know, they were very indie. It was very jingle-jangle music. John Peel was a great champion of them, and they kind of took a very indie route. These days, someone like a lot of Irish music has Twee tendencies, be it Lisa Hannigan or someone like that, you know, that like they've got that kind of like precocious sense, the sense of cuteness as well. The thing is, though, an awful lot of bands don't want to be kind of tarred with the Twee brush. And this is something kind of like that, you know, I'm sure a lot of bands that Spitz talks about in this book he terms Elvis Costello as Twee. Elvis Costello is many things, but I'm sure if you went up to the great imposter and said he was Twee, he'd probably belch you. You know, I mean, a lot of people just don't want to be associated with this tag.
Have a listen and decide how Twee this is then. Watching the detectives from Elvis Costello, who, according to Mark Spitz in his new book Twee, The Gentle Revolution in Music, Books, Television, Fashion and Film, Elvis Costello is Twee. Jim Carroll has read the book, is with me now. He starts, Mark Spitz, with Walt Disney.
Yeah.
Why is Walt Disney Twee?
I suppose Walt Disney to him is Twee because basically he sums up many of the great Twee attributes. Disney was one of the first arbiters of Twee taste, because his films were full of made up worlds, sentimental characters and fantastical stories which were often cloying and overbearing but always sweet and whimsical. And to him, you know, when you read that, you're thinking, yeah, that makes sense. I can definitely see where he's coming from here. But the problem then is that he just jumps around the houses trying to kind of claim everyone is Twee. Like, he tries to basically, like, I mean, he sets up his argument, and then he tries to kind of prove it by associating Twee with all manner of people.
So, and is he dismissing these people on the basis of their Tweeness?
There's not a shred of dismissiveness here at all. He's basically been quite scholarly in a way and quite erudite in a way in trying to put it all together. But as he's going through the book, you begin to think to yourself, like, hang on a second, he's just making the point that Anne Frank is Twee, you know? I mean, where exactly is this coming from? And it's just like, the more he tries to kind of point out that people are Twee, the more you begin to get quite irritated by where he's going.
By the way, when you mentioned Twee and when you gave me the characteristics of it, it struck me, well, What's the difference between twee and hipster? Are we going to have a scholarly thesis on that as well?
It's very interesting you mentioned the H word, Sean, because Mr. Spitz does not mention the H word. I think he mentioned it three or four times in the whole book. You see,
Does he make no comparison?
There's no comparison made because, it opens in Brooklyn because he lives in Brooklyn, and Brooklyn is the epicenter of hipsterdom right now. And I get the feeling that maybe there's, that he thought about maybe writing a book about hipsters and realised that, okay, well, so many other people are covering that, that he could kind of give, I suppose, a broader, more unique perspective by focusing in on twee, because in my mind twee and hipsters are inextricably linked. All those things we listed at the very start, be it Portlandia, be it beards, be it artisanal food trucks, they're also kind of like part of the hipster meme, right, as well.
Maybe he was worried what his friends would think if he used the word hipster.
No, or maybe he thinks there's a second volume of this as well. It's hipster, the gentle revolution in music, books, television, fashion, film to come.
He talks about teen movies with twee ideals.
He's very good. This is the one part of the book where I kind of went, okay, this dude is making a lot of sense now. He talks about movies like, say, Clueless, Heathers, and Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and he kind of points out that these were books where, like, many of the traditional Hollywood tropes were capsized and upended. In these particular films, there was a reduced emphasis on the leading man and woman. The characteristics of old. Out went the flawless hero, and in came a whole bunch of awkward, often socially inept losers in many ways. And he kind of pointed out that these particular tweet tropes began to appear in these teen comedies in the 80s and 90s.
So you mentioned that Walt Disney fits in there. So is there an epitome of twee historically? Was there a time frame when it was at its most potent?
That's a very good point, and a very good question, because not really, because he's placing all these things in a kind of a chronological order, like he's going from kind of Walt Disney up to the kind of the teen comedies of the 80s. The one point that you do realise is that the twee kind of transcends generations. It's not like, say, unlike punk and hip hop to a greater extent, it doesn't kind of like, it's not kind of classified just on a generational basis only. It does cross those boundaries, and it's been around for quite some time. It's present today because, as you've kind of pointed out, the whole hipster thing is quite twee in its bearing. It was there in the 80s because of the C86 guitar bands. It was there in the 90s because of Belle and Sebastian. So it's one of those kind of movements. It's one of those kind of like cultural memes that's been around for quite some time.
How does he structure the book then? Does he do it chronologically? Does he divide things up? No, it's chronological. And does that give it a shape, or is it a bit, this is twee, this is twee? Is it like a big long list of tweeness?
It's not quite a dictionary of tweeness. It's more interwoven in terms of different times and different decades when things are going on. And there are kind of really strong chapters like the one I've just talked about, like about film, where he does get his points across, and you do kind of go, okay, the dude definitely has got some points here. But what happens though is that when you're reading it, you do get the feeling that he's trying to, I suppose, link all these bizarre,
so it's
disparate
a bit forced,
issues.
Is it?
That'd be a good description for what it is. And it's just a bit disjointed, and you kind of get the feeling as well that that when it was being edited, that there was kind of like a feeling of, well, you've got to make things a bit more twee. You've got to pull in more links. It's definitely a very interesting study, and it does make you kind of think. But I think it was called Hipster, the revolution that in music, books, television, fashion, and film, it would make a lot more sense.
You've mentioned music, you've mentioned film. What about television, which is in a golden age at the moment?
I suppose the one person who does come up in this is Lena Dunham, and people like Zooey Deschanel with New Girl as well, and how their particular programs, I suppose, put out this kind of twee culture when it comes to that kind of precociousness and acuteness. And they're kind of like, they're two very, very strong female actors and television makers. And they've had a big bearing, I suppose, in kind of like putting that twee thing into mainstream television.
It sounds from all the people that you've mentioned there, we're very much in a white world, and we're very much in a middle class, and in fact, maybe more than middle class, a privileged, financially privileged world.
Oh, this is abundantly clear throughout, Sean. We're in a world here of kind of like people who are definitely financially enfranchised. This is a world of elites. It's a very white world. He does note at one stage, that he asks in the introduction if he's writing a book for well-off white people, and he certainly is.
Does he answer that question?
No, he doesn't. Of course he doesn't. He just leaves the question hanging, But what happens then as well is that, there's certain aspects of twee that kind of that are in the book, and you kind of realise, yeah, it's definitely a world of privilege. It's definitely a world, I suppose, of escapism as well. It's a way of kind of turning away from real problems. Like I mean, I mentioned Anne Frank there as one of the persons he kind of brought into it. And, you know, there's more kind of emphasis from on the Twee movement and camp followers on kind of like on them championing something like Neutral Milk Hotel's Frank-inspired album in The Airplane Over the Sea, rather than the subject's own diary or the subject's own memoirs, you know. So it's kind of like a form of escapism as a way, not wanting to facing up to the dark stuff that's out there.
All right, who is it for?
This book is for anyone who's curious about Twee and for anyone who's waiting for a cultural history of hipster dump to come along.
And is it a serious cultural history?
No, it's not. It's not in that kind of way. It's 328 pages long, but it's an easy read.
All right, Twee: The Gentle Revolution in Music, Books, Television, Fashion, and Film by Mark Spitz is the book that Jim Carroll has been talking to us about. It's published by HarperCollins, and available now.